So we're thinking this morning about stories that Jesus told. The first story that we've chosen for 2018, and we're going to look at a number of others, but the first one that we've chosen for 2018 is this story of the Good Samaritan. It's perhaps the most famous story that Jesus told. But you'll have noticed from our reading this morning that it all started with some testing questions. Questions that the lawyer asked and questions that Jesus asked in reply. So I thought maybe, as this was about testing questions, that we would have, well, some nice easy questions really, so that somebody could perhaps get a chocolate bar. So I've got some chocolate here, you'll be pleased to know. Try not to knock the water off. I'm going to move that there. Here we are, some chocolate, and I have some questions. What I need two volunteers, and then, lovely. Yes, your hand was up straight away. Do you want to come up? Yeah, that's lovely. And, yep, would you like to come up? That's great. So you're going to be team A, and you're going to be over here, okay? And you're going to be team B, and you're going to be over there. Now, I think, just because some of these questions, they might be quite difficult. So what we'll do, each of you can now choose a grown-up. You're all feeling very nervous now, aren't you? Each of you can now choose a grown-up. Who would you like to help you? Go and get them. Go and get your grown-up to come up and help you, and I'll just find the... where have I put the handheld mic? Oh, I don't know. Right. Who's being dragged up? Yeah, you each get a grown-up and bring them up. Did I leave the mic? Oh, I've left it here. That's it. Right. Come up. Wonderful. Have we got our two teams? So we've got team... Sorry about this, Phil. lovely. We've got team A and we've got team B. Right, capital cities. Are you any good on... capital cities is the first one. And team... You're team A, aren't you? Team A... Now, we better have someone... Karen, do you mind just keeping the score on this? Is that all right between team A? We'll just give 2 points for each correct answer. Okay, so here we are. Are you ready? What is the capital city of England?
London.
Excellent. 2 points. That's fantastic. Well done. Okay. Team B, what is the capital city of Moldova? We might...
Got me.
Moldova?
Sorry.
No. But sorry about that. No points for that one. And, of course, it's Chisinau. There it is, up on the screen. Right. This is Team A. What is the capital city of France?
Paris.
Do you want it
Paris.
Again? Paris. Well done. 2 points. That's excellent. And what is the capital city of Eritrea?
Asmara.
Asmara.
Hide up, yeah.
I need to hide my script here. He's cunning. Well done. 2 points. Excellent stuff. Very good. Now, this next bit is about the sketch. So it's how well you watched the sketch a few minutes ago. Tell me one of the people who did not help the Ipswich Town fan. One person who just walked by and wouldn't help the poor battered blue. Can you tell me what?
The vicar.
The vicar. Well done for 2 points. That's excellent. And, okay, why was the vicar in such a hurry to get home? Why was the vicar in such a hurry to get home?
Because he wanted to do his sermon.
He had to do his sermon. Well done for 2 points. This is very close now, isn't it? This is very good. Okay, another one on the sketch. Who did stop to help the poor battered blue? Who did stop to help the Ipswich Town fan?
Someone who supported Norwich.
It was a Norwich City fan, wasn't it, for 2 points. Good. Team B. The Norwich City fan called Stuart White a proper old mardler. What does that mean? My folder is closed this time. What's a mardler, do you think? Do you want to have a guess?
Maybe a fool.
Could have been a fool. Could have been. It's actually a gossip. So bad luck. Unfortunately, no points for that one. Right. Social media. The final round is about social media. What form of social media does Donald Trump like to use at 3 a.m. in the morning?
Twitter
for two. Well done. 2 points. And this one, now this is quite easy in a way because it has just a yes or no answer to it. You must only answer yes or no, okay? Have you stopped posting those mean messages on Facebook? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. And what about you, sir?
Definitely yes.
Yeah, definitely yes. Okay, now, let's add up the score. I think there we will give 2 points for that very honest answer. I'm glad to hear they've stopped those mean messages. Karen, would you like to tell us what the score is? Team A, 10 points, and Team B, 6. Right, very good. Here we are, Team A. Here's your prize. Would you each like to have a chocolate bar? There we go. Well done. Let's give them a round of applause. They did very well. If you want to go and sit down now, that's great. Now, Team B, I need to just ask you, did you think that quiz was fair? Was it a fair quiz, do you think?
Yes.
You thought it was fair? Good. Did you think it was fair, sir?
Not entirely, no.
What did you think was wrong with it, Phil?
I'd like to challenge a lot of these people in this church to get a lot of those questions right.
Absolutely. How many people in here, honestly, they'll all put their hands up if we ask them, wouldn't they? But how many of them would have known the capital of Moldova? Yeah. Of course, I didn't have this, so I had to look it up on the. No, it's a bit of an unfair quiz. And we did it deliberately because, you see, when the lawyer came to ask Jesus a question, it wasn't like a genuine question where he wanted to find out the answer. It was a trick question. It was a trap question. And did you notice the last question that I asked you both? It was a trap question, wasn't it? I set a trap for you because I said, when did you stop posting those mean messages on Facebook? Yes or no? Why do you think that was a bit of a trap question? Because if you said yes, which you did, what did that suggest? That kind of suggested that you had been sending mean messages, didn't it? And now you'd stop. But if you said no, that would mean you were still sending. So it was kind of, you were caught. Yeah, it was a trick question, you see. Whichever way you answered, you were. And that was exactly what the lawyer did. Because he thought Jesus, you see, was a bit flaky when it came to the Old Testament law. And so he said to him, the lawyer asked Jesus, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And he didn't know whether Jesus would speak from the Old Testament and speak from the law. He wasn't trying to find out the truth. This is the sad thing about this lawyer. Because I think if you come to Jesus to find out the truth, that's a wonderful thing. But this chap, he came to Jesus to try to be clever and to try to catch him out. So I apologize for having tried to catch you out. It was just to make the point. And I think you should definitely both have a chocolate bar. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well done. Okay. Good. Okay, let's think about that a little more then for a few moments. A question that was intended to catch Jesus out. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he thought it was a very clever question, and he thought it was going to really trip Jesus up. But do you know, the interesting thing is that Jesus came straight back to him with another question, and he said, we'll see it on the screen, you tell me. That's essentially what Jesus says. Come on, you're the expert in the law. This young man was a real expert in Old Testament law. You're the expert, you tell me. And so, the lawyer suddenly found himself put on the spot. And he decided the best thing he could do was to do a summary of the Ten Commandments. He thought, well, if I'm going to be a really good person, and I'm going to inherit eternal life, and I'm going to go to heaven when I die, I'd better say that I'm going to have to keep the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, and other words in there as well, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well done, said Jesus. You've answered correctly. There you have it. You do that and you will live. And I can just imagine the crowd who were listening. I think they were laughing. I think they thought that Jesus had kind of floored this rather puffed up, arrogant young lawyer and had shown him up for really bringing a trick question and not coming to Jesus in order to try and find out the truth. There you have it. Do that and you will live. And of course, the lawyer was feeling a bit silly, wasn't he? I'm sure some of you, sometimes you're in a situation where you feel a bit silly and you don't like that and you want to do something to make yourself look better. And that's exactly what the lawyer did. He thought very quickly and he thought, I better ask another question. I'll have a supplementary. I'll have a follow-up question. And his follow-up question, which we'll see on the screen now, is, okay, so who is my neighbor? Now, this actually was not an original question. This was a question that the Jewish rabbis and the experts in the law, they were always arguing over this, because in the Old Testament, it said that you had to care for your neighbor, you had to love your neighbor, and so there was a big argument about, well, who exactly is my neighbor? Is it the person who lives next door to me? Is it, well, it was all sorts of possibilities. And I don't think this question was a genuine question either. This man was wriggling and trying to get out of it. But we ought to be really grateful to him for asking this question, because in response, Jesus told what has to be one of the greatest stories ever told. It's certainly, I think, the most famous of the parables that Jesus told. And we've had a modern version of that story in our parable of the tractor boy here this morning. And we've read the parable of the Good Samaritan from the Gospel of Luke. And we need to get the point of this, because the Samaritans were kind of like distant cousins of the Jews. But they were hated and they were despised and they were looked down on. And the Jews did their best to try and avoid having any contact with the Samaritans. There was a particular area where the Samaritans lived, and as you might expect, it was called Samaria. You're going to see it on the map. And there it is, that area that's in green, that was Samaria, and it was like a no-go area for Jews. You just didn't go there, because you might meet a Samaritan. And even worse, you might get to touch a Samaritan or eat the same food or drink the same water, and that was just no good. You had to keep separate from them. These people really despised, and they had no dealings with each other. That's why we chose the Ipswich fan and the Norwich fan in our story this morning. Now, I think you would have expected that Jesus would tell a story. Can you imagine that he might have told a story where the Samaritan was the one who was all beaten up and lying by the side of the road, and a good Jew came along and overcame his prejudice against that Samaritan and helped him? You might have expected that, mightn't you? And Jesus would have said, now look, you Jews, you must stop being prejudiced against the Samaritans. But not a bit of it. Jesus' story had a real twist in the tale, because Jesus made the Samaritan the hero of the story. And this chap has gone down in history ever after as the good Samaritan. Now that was an absolute contradiction in terms. The Jews didn't think there was such a person as a good Samaritan. They were all bad. Couldn't possibly be a good Samaritan. Okay, so Jesus also set the story in a very interesting place. Let's have a look at our next picture, and we'll see. There it is. That's where the story took place. It was on the road that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was one of the roughest and wildest and most dangerous roads in the area. Everybody knew it. It was notorious. It was bandit country. Even in the Roman Empire, where there was a fair amount of law and order, this was a very lawless area. There were lots of rocks and caves. The road was very steep and rough, and it was a road that you wouldn't travel on your own if you could help it, and you certainly wouldn't travel at night, because you were liable to get a gang of robbers who would come out and beat you up and rob you. They might even kill you. So this was a very, very dangerous place indeed. And everybody knew it. Everybody was aware of how dangerous it was. And so you can imagine what happened. After this poor man had been beaten up, like Guy, and was lying there by the side of the road, moaning and groaning, when the priest came along, he thought, I'm not stopping here. This is a dangerous place. He may be dead anyway. And the priest hurried on as quickly as he possibly could. He wasn't going to stop in that area. And then a temple worker who helped in the temple, he came along as well, and he thought exactly the same. Just like the vicar and the deacon in our version of the story. Hurried on as quickly as possible, didn't want to get involved. It was too dangerous. And then along comes the Samaritan. Now, the Samaritan was definitely a wealthy man. How do I know that? Because he put the poor chap up in a hotel, didn't he? And he said he can stay as long as he likes, and when I come back next time, I'll settle the bill. Must have been quite wealthy. Must need to be able to do that. So the Samaritan, he's a wealthy man. He's got his own donkey. He's got his own possessions. He comes along. He's exactly the sort of chap that those dangerous thugs would like to have attacked and robbed. But he has no thought for his own safety, does he? He stays. And he looks after the man as long as is necessary, and then eventually puts him onto his own donkey after he's treated his wounds and takes him off to an inn, which was a place of safety. So that's the story. And at the end of the story, Jesus resumes the discussion with the young lawyer. And Jesus asks another question. Do you know, I think with this young lawyer, he was kind of wishing by now he'd never come along to Jesus and asked his question in the first place. He was feeling very silly. He was feeling very under pressure. And Jesus said to him, okay, there's my story. So who was the neighbor? Who actually was the neighbor to the man who was in so much trouble? And do you know, the lawyer, did you notice? He can't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. It's so such an awful thought. He doesn't say the Samaritan, does he? He says, well, I suppose it's the one who helped him. He doesn't even want to mention the Samaritan by name. The one who had mercy on him, I suppose that's the one that you mean. And you can sense that the lawyer feels really, really cornered. Jesus, this story wasn't just for the lawyer. This story was for all of us. And it leads us to a question. And the question is this: so who is my neighbor? Okay, after all of this, Jesus told this amazing story. And we're going to try and answer that question now. There's quite a few more chocolate bars there. If any of you would like to have a go now, would you like to just come and get one of my laminates? There's some. We haven't had laminates for years, have we? I know you've all been missing them dreadfully. So anybody who'd like to just take a laminate and come up to the front? Anybody want to have a go? Yeah, come and get one. Good, excellent. Yeah, you don't have to put your hand up. Just come up and get a laminate. And if not enough people come, you can have two each. That would be great. Anybody who wants to come, take a laminate. Come on, just bring them up the front here and just stand in front of the rail holding your laminates. And we'll have a look and we'll see what we've got. Hold them up. There's some that are stuck. Yep, lovely. That's excellent. You could hold up two each. Hold up two each. That's absolutely great. Shall we have those other two as well that are over there? We better have the Norwich City fan, aren't we? Yep. Somebody's collecting three there. My goodness. Right. Shall we share? That's it. I'll hold that one. Can you hold those two up? Let's see what we've got there. So we've got a Syrian refugee. Okay. We've got my friend at school. We've got a famine victim in Africa. We've got a Rohingya refugee. We've got an elderly, sort of lonely elderly person living on their own. We've got a Norwich City fan. We've got the person I sit next to in class at school, the person who lives next door, and a homeless person. Right, okay. Let's see what we can do now. I think what we'll do, if you think that one of the ones that you've got is my neighbour, bring it up this end. So if you look at yours and you think, this person, according to the story Jesus told, is probably my neighbour, bring them up this end. And if you think that any of the ones you've got are not my neighbour, put them up the other end. So have a look. So Syrian refugee, which way is a Syrian refugee? Do you think my neighbour or not my neighbour? What do we think? You folks choose. Which end shall we go? We go with this then. We're going to say a Syrian refugee is my neighbour. Okay, good. What do you think about yours? Which way? What have you got? My friend at school, you think your neighbour? Yeah, person you sit next to, maybe in class. Lovely. Yeah, if you think any of yours are not your neighbour, if you'd like to give them to Karen and she'll put them up on the rail. Are any of these not your neighbour? A Norwich City fan. We're going to have that one as our neighbour? Yeah, yeah, homeless person, right? Yeah, put that one down that end. That's fine. And anybody, what about the person I sit next to in class? Is that going to be the person you sit next to in your class at school? Is that your neighbour, do you think? I think it is. Do you want to bring that one up here? Put that one up that end. Can you just help him to just put that up on the rail? That's good. What do you think about, oh no, leave that one there. I want a few down that end. It'll be more fun. Right, what have we got with the other one? Once you've chosen, you've chosen. What does that one say? The person who lives next door. Do you think that's my neighbour? That's on the not my neighbour at the moment. Do you think, yeah, let's go the other way, because I think that one is my neighbour. I hope so. Right, what about the others we've got here? A famine victim in Africa, my neighbour or not my neighbour? Neighbour, put it up there. What have we got here? A Norwich City fan, neighbour or not? Neighbour. Well, he was quite nice to Guy, I suppose, wasn't he? I suppose we should keep that in mind. So put that one up here. Good, that's lovely. What have we got left? An elderly person living on their own, my neighbour or not my neighbour? Not my neighbour, put it down that end, right. And a Rohingya refugee, these are the people who've been driven out of their homes just recently, and in my neighbour, excellent, oops, lovely, let's stick it up there so that that stays there. Hopefully it'll stay there. It's only got one end to it, hasn't it? Never mind, we'll put it down there. Good, folks, you've done brilliantly with your choices. Would you like to take a chocolate bar each? And then go back to your places. That is terrific. Thank you. Thank you. There we go. Yeah, there's so many choices there, aren't there? You choose one. That's it. Well done. It's the Milky Way. Go for it. Yeah, excellent. I like Milky Ways. Very good. So, okay, there we go. So who is my... Now, it's interesting, isn't it? We've got two people up here, a homeless person... And who was the other one we had who was not our neighbour, according to these folks? An elderly person living on their own. And everybody else turned out to be my neighbour. Let's have a look then. According to Jesus' story, what is the answer? Let's have a look. So who is my neighbour? My neighbour is... Let's see it on the screen. According to Jesus, anyone who needs... Anyone I meet in the course of this coming week, I wonder if you and I, we will meet somebody who needs our help, won't we? I'm sure at school, somebody at some point will need your help. They will need you to be kind to them. Maybe somebody in your family. Maybe someone who does live near to you. Maybe someone who just happened to meet. It happened to me a week or so ago. I just happened to meet somebody out somewhere and they needed my help. They were lost. They didn't know how to find their way to a particular place. And I wasn't a typical Cornishman. I didn't say I shouldn't start from here, my handsome. I actually directed them and I was able to help. You will meet someone. All of us will. And Jesus is saying, you can't limit your neighbour just to the person who lives next door or to the person who's nice to you or to somebody you like. Your neighbour is anyone who needs your help. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? That was the point of the story. The lawyer was trying to wriggle out of the law. Jesus said the standard's very, very high. Now, we'll come back to that a little bit later in the service. But at this point, Kate and the band are going to lead us in our worship. Thank you very much. So how do you really feel about Jesus' story? I think we all know that he was a great storyteller. But Jesus' story put the lawyer on the spot, and I think we may well feel that it puts us on the spot as well. And I wonder if deep down, maybe we wouldn't say it openly, we'd be too polite to do that, but we think of that story and the idea that anybody who needs my help is my neighbour, and we think, you can't be serious. Surely not. This is just too much to us. We may well feel a bit like the next picture we're going to see, that this just looks like this love your neighbour as yourself. It looks like that, doesn't it? It looks like a sort of impossible burden, and you think, you cannot be serious. Surely not, Lord. How? It's hard enough to love your neighbour, isn't it? I really mean your next door neighbour. Many of you, I'm sure, have lovely neighbours, I hasten to say. So do Angela. But some neighbours can be really dreadful, can't they? When they plant Leylandii that grow really high and get rid of all of the light. We see a picture, I think, of that one. There we are. And they grow a great hedge along your fence. And you think, why have they done that? Why haven't they thought of me? Or when they wait until you've put your washing out on the line. And then they light a bonfire at that very moment. When they have a very loud party that goes on until 3 o'clock in the morning, or when your car window gets smashed and you're pretty sure that it's your foul-mouthed teenage neighbour who lives next door to you who's actually done it, but you can't prove it. You might think those are all a bit exaggerated. No, they're not. They're all recorded on the Neighbours from Hell website. Your neighbour at school or on social media, if you're one of the youngsters here this morning, may be a real problem as well. I want to say for the young people here, Jesus' story about being a good neighbour and being kind and loving, it doesn't mean for a moment that any of you have to accept and put up with bullying. It doesn't mean that. It's not about that. And I think it's important for me to say that. But it is hard enough, isn't it, to love your literal neighbour without all these other people being added to the list as well. And how do you feel about the Rohingya refugees? Let's look at that camp now in Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh. It's the largest refugee camp in the world. And there's all those hundreds of thousands of people there. And they're living in the most terrible conditions. Do you sometimes look at that on your television and think, oh, it's just hopeless. How can I think of those people as my neighbour? It's not really my problem. There's nothing I can do. And in a way, if that's how we are feeling this morning, then I think the story of the Good Samaritan has achieved its point, because the lawyer who came to Jesus was very proud of his mind, his sharp mind, but he forgot about his heart. And Jesus comes to us this morning with that same high bar, and it's one that none of us can meet even for one day. You and I, as we are, as sinful people, we can't love God with all our strength and all our soul and all our mind, and we don't love our neighbour as ourselves. The law shows us how far short we actually fall of God's standard. I don't measure up. And so as we come to a close, I need to say that we need to meet the Samaritan. You see, it's because we don't measure up. It's because we, as ourselves, as normal, natural people, can't have that kind of compassion and that love that Kate and the band and ourselves have been singing about. It's because of that that we need Jesus. You remember how Guy was lying, beaten and groaning, just here, earlier in the service. And I'm going to finish just by sitting from here, just to finish my talk, because I want to say this to you, that I'm like that. Not because I've been beaten up and mugged by some dangerous thugs in the street, but I've been mugged by sin. I've been mugged by the law that shows me God's standard, and it's a standard that I can't reach. I can't get there by my own efforts. And that is exactly why Jesus came. In a deep sense, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He's the one who comes right where the broken and battered and beaten person is. He comes right where I am. He knows my need. Do you know, because of stories like the Good Samaritan, which of course the temple priests and all the Jewish authorities, they didn't like those stories at all. Partly because of that, and for lots of other reasons, Jesus was eventually put on trial and he was executed and he died on a cross. And you might look at that and think that that was a terrible accident. But I want to say this to you this morning. It wasn't an accident at all. It was all part of God's plan. God sends his son Jesus to the cross as the Good Samaritan. He comes right where we are. He comes right down to our point of need, where we are totally beaten, where we're totally unable to help ourselves. The Bible says there's a curse in the law And the curse is this, trying to make yourself right with God by your own efforts. I want to say to everybody here this morning, you'll never do it. You'll never get to God's standard by your own efforts. You'll never be able to express that love for people that is unreserved and is free unless Jesus puts that love in your heart. But if you'll come to him by faith and you will admit your need, you see, that's the hardest thing for some of us, isn't it? To admit that we need saving, that we need rescuing. Poor old guy in our sketch earlier, he didn't have any hesitation, did he? He was groaning and he was crying for help. And when you're in that sort of situation, you forget your pride, don't you? You just need help. And that's what needs to happen to all of us. We must forget our pride. We must accept that we need help. And that Jesus is the one who's come as the rescuer. Christianity is not about trying hard to live a better life. It's about putting your faith in Jesus. It's about accepting the forgiveness and the new life that he offers. And then you will find miraculously that it is possible for you to love your neighbor. Jesus will give you the heart to do it, but he'll also give you the wisdom to know how to do it. Because I'm sure there's lots of questions in your mind. And you're thinking, if I start loving people that way, surely they'll think I'm a soft touch and everybody will walk all over me. Jesus will give you a heart of love. But he'll also transform your mind so that you will be wise and you will know how to be a good neighbor. But it has to start with you putting yourself in the place of that poor, beaten blue who had well blundered over and was lying by the side of the road and had been beaten and mugged. That's how we are. That's what sin has done. But Jesus has come and he comes right where we are. Perhaps for somebody here this morning, this would be a real opportunity for you to recognize your need and to talk to someone about coming to faith in Jesus. There's going to be a lunch afterwards, so it'll be a great opportunity to talk, but also an opportunity to have a chat in the key. So take the opportunity at the end of the service to have a word with me, have a word with someone else. Try and find out more about what it means to put your faith in Jesus.